Now, the cost to Christ is immense. The cost to Christ is upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes, we are healed. The writer to the letter to the Hebrews says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Christ gave up heaven. Christ lived an obscure life. Christ was separated from the Father. Christ died for our sin. The cost to Christ. And you know that these things are true, because in Philippians it said, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, to not let go of, to clutch, to cleave to hold on to for dear life. He didn't. He emptied himself. And taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. The cost to Christ. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Have you had to walk past the person camped out with the little pooch outside the coffee shop in the urban area, strategically positioned to get your spare pounds out of your pocket? And have you, as I have, given to that one, and you're out of change, and the next one comes, and you're like, I'm broke, I don't see you. Because I don't know how to face you. Because I don't know how to look and make the wince and go, I gave it the office. I'm out because I don't have enough for all the need in the world. That's how the scripture describes Christ. One from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Nobody knew what he looked like. He wasn't blonde Swedish guy with a blue sash. Although the Bible does describe him in a glorified state. That the Bible meant to be left to your imaginations only, but people have made artistic renditions of what they think it looks like. And you'll be polluted by other people's drawings by now, which is idolatry, which the scripture said, don't do that. But it's been done. And so you know that God looks like this as he reaches down, and that Adam looks like this as he reaches up, because someone did it, and there's no way out of it. But God is more powerful than the idolatrous image in your mind of what he's like. And he wants your mind back. And he wants your imagination of what he's like. And he wants to show you that love works and that he is speaking to you and calling to you. And that you might see him and know him and you might respond to him. This is not a game. This is not a mental exercise. This is not an academic teaching from scripture from a guy in a pulpit. This is lives touched by the Spirit of God who wants you back. The world is fighting for you. Come back. Or finally come. Be here now. It's important. He's wounded for our transgressions. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice from the cross, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? And that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The cost to Christ. The Father turns his face away. Right? Psalm 22, on the lips of Jesus Christ. And people in the crowd didn't know Psalm 22, and they said he's calling for Elijah. The cost to Christ. He can get himself down there if he's God. The cost to Christ, the mocking by people he died to save while we were yet sinners. The cost to Christ. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid that wage. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Though it cost us nothing, it cost Christ everything. Now, I didn't say that to you so you would feel bad. Look what you did. You know, that's what my mom said when I made a mess on the carpet. You know, look what you did. Oh, man, I don't know. I didn't know the ice cream was going to melt if I left it sitting there in the middle of the floor. You know? Do you ever see the kids and the parent comes around, they're making a video and they come around and the kids have opened up a tin of paint and he's doing this on the belly of his brother? Have you seen that on YouTube? It's glorious. It's horrible because as the owner of a carpet, you are mortified. You're like, oh no. Oh, and I think there's even a television and the kid has done this on the screen of the television with paint, you know? And they're like, this is the best. You left us cool stuff out. Thanks, Dad, you know? Look what you did. That's not what sermons are about. This story isn't to tell you you're bad, you cost Jesus his life. That's not the message. The message is, it's very expensive, this living. And the message is that someone paid, that someone who loves you said they are never going to be able to fix this. My son, go. Yes, Father, I will go. And the Holy Spirit says, do you see that he went because the Father sent him? And it's a glorious thing as Easter comes, and you need to live it. You need to steep in it like a tea bag, making delicious tea, your favorite tea, strong tea that smells out of the mug as you have that first sip. You need Easter in you like that. Abundant. Persuasive. I've managed to muster a little zeal this morning to encourage you that it's there and we need to appropriate it. We need to draw on that account and be flush in our pockets in order to lavishly spend the love of God on the other people who need it. It's true, it's convincing, it's real, it saves, it's lovely. We need it. You have it. You're there. You sense, you're reminded and you go, yes, that, yes. And no one's trying to tell you, feel bad, do more, get there. It's not it. It's let it in. Let it, like a tea bag doesn't fight the water in the cup. It just, and it's beautiful.